I want to teach you about the downward spiral of disappointment. Quickly. Disappointed is a compound word. The first part of that word is dis. Now, my Greek philosophers are going to pull this one out of the hat quickly. Dis, D-I-S, is another word for the Greek god Pluto, who is god of the underworld. So I need to let you in on something. Disappointment is not a feeling, although feelings are attached. Disappointment is an attack from the underworld. Disappointment is an attack from the god of the underworld, whose name is not Pluto. His name is Satan. Because he loves it when you get right to the edge of the Jordan River, and he likes to feel like he stole it from you. But here's what he knows that he doesn't want us to know, is that he can't take anything from us unless we let him. Here's what you need to know about disappointment. Once you recognize it, speed is of the essence. Disappointment is not just what mama said or what daddy did. It's an attack from the enemy. The enemy works through people's brokenness. People are not the enemy. They're the conduit he uses to get to your life. Disappointment is an attack. And feelings of disappointment will bombard your soul. But here's what you have to understand. The disappointment of circumstances are lies that are really about you. So if you're Caleb and you come right to the edge and you're ready, and then it doesn't happen, guess what? When you have to go back, when you have to start putting your spear down, and there's nothing worse for a warrior than carrying a basket instead of a spear. And so you got to go get your basket and go get your manna in it every stinking day. Guess what? The enemy's going to say to you, you're not really a warrior. You only fought that one battle with Joshua. You remember that one little battle that y'all had to fight when y'all came out of Egypt? You didn't really think you were going to go in there and kill all them giants. You know, he'll even use what God did for you to trip you up. He'll say things like, you didn't fight your way out of Egypt. God had to do it for you. You don't have what it takes. What's he doing? He's not trying to lie to you about your circumstances. He's trying to lie to you about you. Because what does the scripture say? Why did the people choose to not go into the land? The scripture says they saw themselves as grasshoppers. I need to talk to some mighty ones today and remind you, you are mighty. Don't let the disappointments of life turn you into a grasshopper. It's not that there's giants out there. It's what do you believe about yourself? Because here's what happens when he lies about you. That's good preaching, buddy. He's with me. That young man is right there. Once you agree with the lies of the enemy, you put your foot in a trap. Big old bear trap. And then God's saying, okay, sanctify yourselves for today. I'll do wonders in your midst. And you say, okay, well, maybe Joshua says, sharpen up them flint knives, boys. We're going to have to trim a little bit of flesh. And you go, I might rather stay in the bear trap. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about, do you? Joshua told the people, we're going to have to circumcise ourselves, gentlemen. Not just my foot's fine. Just leave my foot in the trap. But when you agree with the lies of the enemy, you put your foot into a trap. So write these four things down very quickly. The first thing that begins to happen when you agree with disappointment is you become discouraged. Discouraged. Because when you believe lies about who you are, the courage that you need to be you is the first thing that leaves. So remember, God brought them through the Red Sea. You're not slaves anymore. Now you're sons and daughters. You're free. So you might have been a slave over there. You might have been a brickmaker for Pharaoh, but now you're a warrior. Now you're a mighty one. You might have been beat your whole life with a whip, but now, guess what? Now you're going to be a warrior. You're going to live in freedom and liberty. You got a new identity. If the enemy can get you discouraged, he's got you to lay down your identity. When you choose to believe, no, this is who God says that I am. I am more than a conqueror. I'm an overcomer in Jesus' name. Guess what happens? What starts to happen on the inside of you? Not John Wayne courage, courage from heaven starts to come up on the inside of you, and you start to believe, we be well able. But when you don't live in the identity that God has given you, the courage that he's given you starts to go. When you become discouraged, the second thing that happens is you become disoriented. When you become discouraged, you kind of start dragging your spear around like this. We're used to it was... And you were saying, I wish somebody would. I'll fold you like a dish towel. I'm harder than a kneecap, colder than the other side of the pillow. I'll mess you up. But then you get discouraged. Because we've been doing, walking around the same old thing for 40 years. Can I just rant for just a minute? It'll be short, I promise. Speaking for being a young preacher, ain't nothing worse to preaching to people who are discouraged. That you in there trying to give them faith and hope, and they're like, well, okay, I've heard that before. I heard that sermon when I was 20. Well, then how come you ain't living in it? Discouraged, and then you're disoriented, and you're like, where are we even going? We've been walking around in circles for 40 years. I've seen every rock. I've seen every palm tree. One time for giggles, when I was 45, I planted a tree in such and such oasis, and now that thing has just grown all the way up. I've been seeing the same old thing for 40 years. Is there any believers in this room that you tell the truth in the house of God and say, I've been coming to church for 30 years. I ain't seen anybody get out of a wheelchair yet. I've seen a lot of whiz-bang preachers come in and make a mess, but don't nothing ever really change. I've had all I can take. I'm going to go just a step further because I love you enough to not leave you there. Is there anybody ever felt like, I've been coming to this church for 30 years paying on $3 million worth of debt. I've been giving, 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 and ain't nothing changed. I'm disoriented. Where am I? Why am I here? Where are we going? Even Moses couldn't get us in. God bless Moses, but Moses couldn't get us in. When you become disoriented, you start asking the wrong questions. When we become disoriented and we have forgotten who we are and where we're going, the next thing that happens in our lives is our lives fall into disorder. Discouraged? The second one just slipped my mind. I just said it. Disoriented and disordered. So what happens? Your life starts to get out of order. All of a sudden, the kids' travel ball league is more important than being in the presence of the Lord. Because I guess God's not going to do anything in my life, so I'll just try to let Jimmy have some fun playing baseball. You quit trying at work because you didn't get the promotion that you thought you deserved, or that maybe the one that you know you earned it. It didn't come. And so now you're just a 9-to-5 man. You're a suit with no soul. Now you've lost your faith. Or maybe you started out saying, I'm blessed to be a blessing, but you've lost sight of that, and now it's all about you. Your life's out of order, and you say, well, I'm going to get mine. Because I tried blessing everybody. It didn't seem to help nobody. They never said thank you. I had to still keep working real hard. I don't know that I got a lot to show for it, so I'm just going to get my Mercedes in my house. Now your life's out of order. Or you gave everything you had to your first spouse, and they still chose to leave. And you started to see some of the same signs in the second, and so you just fell into disorder. You're like, okay, just whatever you want's fine. I don't care. You're not leading her, loving her, watching for her, or vice versa. You ain't loving him. You ain't watching his back. You ain't prayed for him no more. You just, you know, whatever. Nothing changes. My life is out of order. Do you know what comes with disorder in our lives when our lives are disordered? Depression. Depression. That's when you're sitting around one day, bemoaning your station. One day you're just like, I hate this. I wished I'd have never even seen the promised land. God, I wish you'd have let me die with the rest of them. Because now I'm old. Imagine being 80 and you got a big old gray beard down to here. Just depressed. I don't have faith for anything anymore. Is he really going to do it in us? Is he really going to do it in me? Been 40 years. I've heard people say it before. Now's the time. God's going to do it, and then it don't happen. You know what comes right after that? Death. Let me teach you something. The attack of disappointment doesn't just come to steal your promise. It comes to steal your life. The only thing worse than dying a tragic death is dying as an old man or an old woman. And you look back and realize, I could have made it. I wish I would have. The only thing more bitter than untimely tragic death is regret. Some of you didn't hear what I just said. Is regret. Well, what do we do? Okay, I laid it out. What do we do? You have to go back to the place of the wound. You have to go back to the place of the disappointment. And you have to identify not just what they did, but what did I believe? Because some of us, we have lived from the Kadesh Barnea until now, trying to perform to keep everyone happy so that that doesn't happen again. So we have to go back and come out of agreement and say, I'm not going to live that way no more. I'm not just a performer. I'm not just this. I'm not just that. I'm preaching. There's nobody helping me. You have to go back and look and go, I'm not stupid. I can do it. I might be a short little white boy from the holler, but I can do it, not because I'm so strong and so smart, but because God said I can do it. There's some mighty ones. You're going to have to break that bear trap off of your foot. And you're going to have to pick yourself up. And you're going to have to get fresh vision and fresh identity from heaven. And you're going to have to pick up your spear again. Because here's the reality for Caleb. He spent 40 years in that wilderness. You can either spend 40 years crying and moaning about it, or you can spend 40 years getting ready. I might be a little slower than I once was, but it's not just in the power of my arm, it's in the grace of God. and your heart may get tired a little bit sooner, but you're going to have to keep thrusting that spear, because you have to know this: it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by God's Spirit that He'll take me in. And so I'm not going to miss my moment. I'm not going to miss my moment. Oh, my skin might be wrinkly. There might be a few more pounds right here where the muffin lives, but I'm not going to miss my moment. I'm not going to let, I don't care if all my friends and all my family, if they were content to die in Sinai, I come to preach to some mighty ones that says, I am going to live in the promises of my God. Oh, I'm not going to live in poverty. I'm not going to live in dysfunction. I'm not going to live in ignorance. I'm not going to live in failure, because God has told me I can live in promise. And I'm not going to let somebody take it from me just because they don't believe for themselves. I'm not going to let the enemy take from me what God has promised to me. I'm not going to let the devil have my city. I'm not going to let him have my street. I'm not going to let him have my family. He for sure ain't going to take my house. Do you listen to me? I'm going to preach just a minute right here. Somebody has got to say the thing that nobody else wants to say. I'm not going to let a corrupt preacher steal my church from me. I'm not going to let that one preacher die too young take it from me. I'm going to keep believing that God will fulfill His promises. I'm not going to let the fact that Moses died keep me from being Joshua or keep me from being Caleb. I'm not going to lay my spear down just because somebody else didn't make it. I wonder, is there anybody listening to me that you say, you know what, I'm so old, I don't know that I need a big farm anymore. My belly can't handle the wine that them grapes would make. But is there anybody listening to me that you feel that different spirit coming up on you that says, I might be 85 year old and I might be wrinkled from the top to the bottom, but I will give my life so that my children and my children's children can know God and live in the house of the Lord the longest day that they live. Oh, I need somebody to listen to me today. You need to pick up your spear again. You need to stake your place at the front of God's army. I need to talk to some believers. You've seen Him part the Red Sea. You've seen the Nile turn to blood. You watched the angel of death pass over the doorpost of your life. I need somebody who's got some faith to pick up their spear and say, I'm going to keep believing. Oh, I ain't done yet. I need to talk to the Gate Church today. We have seen God do wonders in our past. Oh, but you know what I want to see? I want to see the walls of Jericho crumble when we shout. Oh, I want to see the looks on their faces when they look down at me, sneering, saying, look at how big our walls are. Look at how much power we got. I want to show them who's really got the power. Oh, is there anybody in here you want this to be your testimony? Oh, I've seen men that they thought they were God. I've seen men they called themselves the Son of God. I've seen people they thought they were a big deal. But I was standing side by side with Joshua. We were outnumbered 3-1, killing as hard and fast as we could go. And I looked over in amazement, thrusting my spear, when Joshua pointed at the sun and said, Son, be still. Is there anybody who wants the testimony? I want to see the one who holds the sun in his hand.